I want to turn this morning into the Gospel according to Luke in the 9th chapter, beginning in the 57th verse. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I have never tried to preach this passage of Scripture. And I understood it, but I didn't understand it. I knew what he was saying, but I did not know what application to make. And it's almost off-putting, the call and response between the Lord and these individuals. One man just said, I'll follow it. Unprompted. I'm going to believe that he was sincere. It almost seems like the Lord was trying to persuade him not to follow him. Because he says, well, if you do, I don't have a place to lay my head. The foxes and the birds do. If you follow me, it's not going to be very comfortable. It's not for your advancement in social and monetary. You may be without anything if you follow me. And then the Lord went to another man and he told him, you follow me. And the man said, I will. But let me go first bury my father. That sounds like a really good excuse to me. And then the Lord just almost seems, with just even without love or sympathy, let the dead bury their dead, but you follow me. Then another says, I'll follow you. Let me go tell him goodbye. That sounds reasonable. And the Lord says, you're taking your hand off the plow and looking back. If you do that, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And something happened to me a couple of weeks ago. And somehow that brought this to my mind and I saw an application. May not be the application, but I saw how it could apply. So, let me preface it like this. Sometimes, following the Lord Jesus, joining the church, being a member of the church, goes against all types of common sense. Sometimes it's the most impractical thing to do. Sometimes it's against every fiber of your being. Sometimes there are people saying, you're making a mistake. But if you've been called, bidden, and the door has been opened, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, you ought to go and be obedient to the call. It doesn't matter. What does it matter? It doesn't matter. And this happens time and time again. This is not just a call to obey the gospel, nor is it a call to the ministry. This is every time, every day of your life, this something like this where the Lord is bidding you, that you look at that, that he's asking you to do, and you say, I can't do it under the circumstances. Or let me take care of some things, and then I'll do it. And they may be important things. So here's what happened to me. Y'all, buckle your seatbelts. This is going to be kind of a long story. This thing that happened to me illustrated what's going on in this passage. 2 weeks ago, I went to the Fishing River Association in Excelsior Springs, Missouri. About a year ago, the pastor of North New Garden Church, Elder Jesse Hobbywalks, called me and asked me if I would come to that meeting. He gave me two very good reasons. Number one, it was their 200th anniversary. I like church history. I'd never been up there. Always wanted to go. And I'll say this just at Bethel. I can say this at Bethel. Because y'all understand what I'm saying. Brother Jesse said, don't let my last name prevent you from coming. All right, enough said about that. Enough said. Well, his dad just passed us right down the road. He said, don't hold me hostage. And he implored me. He says, Brother David, I'm an old-line Primitive Baptist. And I want some good, sound, old-line Primitive Baptist preachers to come to this meeting and preach for us and help us. Come over to Excelsior Springs and help us. I couldn't say no to that. This was a year ago he made this invitation. He kept up contact with me. In fact, my brother Mike was going to go. We had it all planned out, had our plane tickets bought. Brother Jackson was going to pick us up at the airport. He lives 5 hours away from Kansas City. He's going to pick us up at the airport. We were told we had a place to stay. All looking good. Then all this happened with my mother. And Mike said, I don't think I'm going to go. I don't think I need to go to the meeting. And I thought, I don't think I need to go either, under the circumstances. But there was something within me that kept telling me, no, you need to go to this meeting. I told Mike. He got upset. I didn't care. I said, Mike, I got to go. So I got on a plane, flew up to Kansas City, went outside. There was Jackson waiting for me. We got in Jackson's truck going down the road. He said, well, we got some time before supper. He said, are they going to put us up somewhere? I said, I kind of think so. But I don't know. They never said. I think it's a hotel. So I called up one of the deacons. Said, well, brother, here's the situation. Are y'all going to put us at a hotel? He says, oh, no, you're not going to be at a hotel. We got a place for you. Just come on to the church. We're already here. We're getting ready. You can get ready at the church. It'll be just an hour, and we'll have supper. That sounded good. All right. Good. Me and Ed had a good time eating supper. Deacon comes and sits down next to me and says, let me tell you about where y'all are staying. You're staying at a man's house whose dad was a minister in this association. He was a well-respected minister. He's passed away. This man is his son. He called me, said, I have a big house, got plenty of room. If y'all need people to stay, I've got plenty of room. I remember going with my dad to meetings, stand with people we didn't know, and I remember how wonderful that was. I said, well, that sounds nice. Where's the brother? Let me meet him. He says, oh, well, he's not here. He's not a member here. He hadn't been to church in 57 years. What? He said, but he called. He made that invitation, so you and Jackson are going over there. I said, where does he live? He says, I'll give you his address. They ain't even going to take us over there. They give us his address. We're GPSing it. Get to this man's house. We don't know from Adam's house cat. Brother Mallow was there. Brother Ronnie, when he heard about it, he said, David, you're crazy if you do it. You don't know this guy. He could be an axe murderer. You don't know. He said, we've got a hotel. I'll make you a reservation at our hotel. I said, Ronnie, I just feel like I need to go. He said, don't do it. He said, I'll pay for the room. I said, I can't. The man asked for somebody to stay with him. Something kept telling me, you need to do it. We were driving 20 miles from the church to the man's house, following the Siri was telling us how to get there. And Jackson said, David, I think this is a mistake. I said, and right then we were going right by the hotel where Ronnie was staying. And he was out there watching us. He said, there's Ronnie right there. He's paying for a room. He's bidding us to come. I said, a greater than Ronnie is calling us. I said, I'm sorry, Jackson, I'm sorry. That's what you get when you chose a preacher for your stepfather. I'm sorry, you made that call, buddy. Middle, dark, foreign country, Missouri. Don't know the man, never met him. He hadn't been to a church in 57 years. It sounds like a recipe for disaster. Makes no sense for us to do this. Except a still small voice. The world is noisy, opinionated. Think they know what's right. Will tell you real, real good to tell you what you ought to do. But there's something louder than the noisy crowd, and that's the still small voice of God. That you ought to pay heed to. And I kept hearing that voice. Now, y'all want to hear what happened? All right. Okay. Y'all are on the edge of your seat. This is a true story that really happened. We drive up. Nice. Beautiful. Lovely house. Big lawn. Beautifully landscaped. I told Jackson, I said, I don't know if this guy's going to have anything to eat. We stopped by the store and we got some snacks. I mean, I'm not crazy. I'm going to take care of some things. We got into the man's house, about 72-year-old brother. He said, I know y'all are from Texas. I got chips and salsa and Dr. Pepper waiting for you. We sat down and we ate. It was paste, but beggars can't be choosers. Cold Dr. Pepper, chips and salsa. Looked at the house, it was gorgeous. I said, brother, you have a nice house. He says, I designed this house. This man worked out in the field of product design. Designed things that we use in our life. As an independent contractor, did very well for himself. And we just talked about that. We went to bed. We got back to church. Brother Ronnie was there just like shaking. We're alive. I told Jackson, I said, we can't do better than this. I had a room with a bathroom. He had a room with a bathroom. Beautiful house. Chips and sauce, Dr. Pepper. What more do you want? I said, we're coming back here tonight. Had a good day, good service. Went back, waiting for us. Brother was waiting for us. Chips, salsa, Dr. Pepper. That's all we eat in Texas, I guess, is chips and salsa, Dr. Pepper. He's enjoying it. We went to his living room. We got to talking. Jackson stretched out on the sofa. Lazy boy fell right asleep. He and I started talking. We talked a long time that night. He told me why he hadn't been to church. It was not a good excuse, but he got his feelings hurt. But this man, I got the sense that this man was a born-again child of God. And he talked about how lonely he was since his wife passed away. He heard about the meeting. He wanted someone to talk to. And he wanted to talk to some Primitive Baptists. He didn't know that he was lonely for something else than his wife. He was the bride lonely for her husband. He had a void the world could never fill. He had lived a very interesting life, met very notable people in this world, made a lot of money, and he's sitting in his living room lonely, aching, and not knowing what to do. And we talked, and he said, I just can't believe the Primitive Baptists are still with us. I went there, there's no young people, no life. Griped about other religions, a lot of pride. I said, brother, you need to go to the meetings I go to. You need to see the life that I see. Now I go there and it's teeming with young folks. We're preaching the gospel. We're singing. It's wonderful. You need to come and see. He says, well, I found what I needed. You know, I believe that we need to be nice and kind and friendly and love each other and blah, blah, blah. And we talked and we talked and we talked. It was 1:30 in the morning. I got up. I said, Brother Corn, I need to go to bed. He says, I want you to know I love you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're my brother. And I firmly believe that I'll see you in glory. But I invite you to come to the marriage supper. And don't let the ghost of the past or things that you've built up in your mind cause you to lose the greatest blessing in life. The kingdom of God is still among men, and it will be until he delivers the kingdom up to glory. Amen. Come and see. He was crying. He's weeping. Both of us are crying. I don't know if he'll follow up on that. I don't know. But everything said, don't go to this meeting. Don't go to that man's house. Impractical. Not common sense. Do the smart thing. And the Lord was telling me to do something where everything and a lot of people were saying, don't do it, don't do it. And I'm not bragging on me, folks. I thank God he kept on telling me, just do it, Dave. Follow me. Follow my footsteps. They're the way that leads to life. The abundant life. Where I've called you to my service. You are not doing this for your merit and esteem. You're not here to get ahead in the world. This may keep you back from the world. But our Lord had no place to lay his head. He gave it all for us. And he bore it all for us. He poured out his life for us. What did he get in return? And he did the will of his Father. And he finished the work that his Father bid him to do. And his reward is to see his bride safe and delivered for all eternity. So what is his desire and will for us that he would say, do this. Give up a weekend. I gave up eternity. Go to this man's house. I went to the lost sheep. Tell him of your father's house, because he built that house. And it is worth what it cost you. You reap abundantly. As I can stand in front of you today and say, he blessed me. And I didn't even know that was happening. I didn't know why I felt that to come to that meeting and to go to that man's house. But the Lord knew. And if the Lord had explained all that to me, I probably wouldn't have done it. But he encourages us. Follow me. Follow me. Look who you're following. You're following the King of Kings. You're following the captain of your salvation. You're following the man that will never lie to you, never sugarcoat anything, will always tell you the truth, and will always provide and take care of us. Though we see, though it appears that this may end in disaster, no, it's the way that leads to life. As I found, it leads to heaven, but there's heaven on earth, and I found that. And I found it time and again and again and again and again and again. But I've got things to do. I've got to do this and this and this and this. When he calls, it's time to go. Amen. Anything else is the dead. Yes, it's either there's everything else is the wrong answer. Let the dead bury their dead. There'll still be things to do when you're done. But when he calls and when he knocks, answer. Now you're not going to miss eternal life. That's not what we're talking about. But you will miss golden moments. As that song we sang, golden moments we've neglected, yet the Lord forgives again. Anything else, that's the dead burying the dead. Let them take care of that. You have been called, you have been bidden, and the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb has been extended to you. Come and dine. Sometimes, as we have been serving the Lord in the Lord's church for years, sometimes we get our feelings hurt. Sometimes we're misunderstood. Sometimes we second guess ourselves. Sometimes the devil gets a hold of us and we wonder, was this all in vain? Sometimes you think, I haven't done a thing. It's just been worthless. It's fruitless. I don't understand. Don't look back. Keep your hand on the plow. Keep going forward. Keep your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. You'll plow straighter paths that way. Don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. Look, that's Sodom and Gomorrah back there. There's destruction going on behind you. You keep your eyes on the Lord. On the upon the hills, which cometh your help. My help cometh from the Lord. I'm looking up. That's where the hills are. That's where my help is. It's the Lord. Don't look back. Don't second guess the Lord. Don't let the devil confuse you. Oh, I know we've made so many mistakes. Don't even let your mistakes get the better of you. Do better. Try to do better. Pray without ceasing. Come to church on days you don't feel like coming to church. That's when you really need to be in church. Pray for the church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for one another. Talk to people. If you need help, ask it. Ask them. Call for the elders of the church. Have them come pray for you. If you're sick, if you're afflicted, call them. If you're married, sing songs. If you sing off key, sing loud. If you sing on key, sing louder. Cover up me who's singing off key. I don't mind people singing off key, but I sure like the folks that sing on key, though. I'm not crazy. I like good singing. I like people who put an effort into it. I appreciate y'all and the effort that you put in, and that you enjoy singing praises to the Lord. Some may say, well, you're going way to Henderson, Texas for a singing. What in thunderation would you want to go all the way to Henderson, Texas for? If you find that that's where you're going to praise the Lord, well, all right, if he's calling you, then go. I'm not going to stop you. Don't stop me from going to Missouri. I went to Maryland. I was going to stay over. I asked Brother Sonny and having the surgery. I didn't know about that. I said, I need to get back. I'm not, you know, to me, I'm not going to be up someplace where they got preachers sitting on the pews, and there's a church down there with no preacher. I kind of think that's taking my hand off the plow. I really do. There was no discussion on this. I told Brother Jonathan, I told the church up there, I got to get back. They were being like, good, yeah, I'm glad to see you go. We was afraid you was going to stay over. I said, yeah, but you're still going to drive me an hour to the airport. Sometimes a lot surprises the Christian while he sings. I think about that a lot. And sometimes when you least expect it, help comes, help arrives. Handfuls of purpose are right there in front of you. They've left the Boaz said, you leave some sheaves behind. And then put a little bit extra. Handfuls of purpose. You're going to come home and your apron's just going to be full of grain. And they're going to say, where'd you get all that from? From the field of Boaz. Well, he's a near kinsman. I didn't know that. Why was I there? My happenstance was to go there. Yeah. On your end, on God's end, it was all providence. There you are. You didn't know. You didn't know Boaz was there. Whose damsel is this? He notices you. Take care of her. Take care of her. Guess what? Y'all fixing to get married. Your husband. Your husband is here. It's our Lord. We're married to him. Our King, our Deliverer. He's there in the fields. We don't know what to do. We're just going to glean. The harvest has already gone past. We missed the harvest. We think it's too late. It's too late. All we're going to glean, get a little bit. Just try to live. Just have something to eat today. We didn't know that there's a barrel of meal that's got meal in it every day. There's a cruise of oil. But you go in faith because our Lord, our overseer, our Boaz, our kinsman redeemer knows what we have need of before we ask. And when he calls, maybe it's to visit somebody. Maybe it's to pray for somebody. Maybe it's to go to a meeting. It may seem inconvenient, but it's the most convenient thing, really, because it's your kinsman redeemer calling. There's no future in looking back. Because you're turning your eyes away from the future, and you're looking at the past. The future is ahead. And by looking ahead, you're now fit for the kingdom of God. That's not so hard, is it? Sometimes we're kind of like Naaman the Syrian. You just want me to go to a dirty Jordan River and wash seven times? I could have done that at home. And his servant, he had a wise servant. He said, if he had asked you to do a great thing, you would have done it. Now he's giving you something easy and you're all upset about it. The healing of Naaman was not in the Jordan River. The healing was in the power of God. And that healing was brought to him through his obedience to the instruction given to him by the prophet. If he had dipped six times, he'd still just as be as leprous as he was before. It was that seventh time. If he'd done eight times, he couldn't have been any cleaner. Did make sense what Elijah told. I think it was Elijah or Elisha, I can't forget. I was preaching this weekend at Brother Ronnie Loudermilk. I knew there was a verse I had to get. I knew it was in the Bible somewhere. I said, I think it's in the book of Acts. He goes, yes, it's Acts 17:38. I go, I think Paul said it yesterday. You know, so like, every Amen corner needs a Brother Ronnie Loudermilk. I'm not a scriptorian. Some guys are. I'm not. I'll get maybe close. At any rate. So my beloved friends, I think about what the Apostle Paul said. And I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me just read this to you real quick. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Wow, you better do what he says. If I don't preach it, I'm in trouble. You've got to do what the Lord says. But at the same time, in your obedience to the Lord's direction, that is not for you to take the glory thereof. That glory is the Lord's. The blessing is yours, but the glory is the Lord. Paul said, why should I glory? I'm just doing what I'm told to do. Matter of fact, if I don't do it, I'm going to the woodshed. He says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, is it going to be the blessing or is it going to be the judgment? What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel without charge, gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. The gospel is free, just like grace, just like redemption. I'm not here to get any monetary gain. I'm not here to tell people how great and how wonderful I am. As I've heard a lot of preachers say, and you want to don't talk to me about how good a preacher I am, because you ought to hear me when the Lord's not blessing me. It's not any good at all. I love it when the Lord blesses whoever's up there. I got up yesterday morning. I knew he's going to put me up first and Brother Ronnie second. I just had an impression. It's not your time, Dave. Not your time. It's Brother Ronnie's time. Get out of his way. I did. I when I get that impression, I take advantage of it. I got up there. I was about 20 minutes, and I sat down. Brother Ronnie got up and preached the roof off, and then he preached the roof back on. And I knew this. It's I'm not going to glory because I obeyed what the Lord said, and I'm not going to glory because Brother Ronnie's such a good preacher. My reward is I got to hear a great sermon, I got fed, and got to glorify the Lord better than if I stayed up there. We did everything we came there to do. We came to thank the Lord, praise the Lord, worship the Lord, and if the Lord will, that we could sit at his table and eat and dine and be refreshed and get away from the world for a while and be strengthened, that we could be better ambassadors to Christ and we can go at it again. Do it again. Just do it again and keep doing it and keep doing it until our duty is done and he calls us home. And that where he says, you've well done, my good and faithful servant. You have fought a good fight. You have kept the faith. You have been obedient to my commandment. You're coming not to your reward. You got that on earth. Now you're coming to your inheritance. You've got a little bit of it down here. Welcome to the whole lot of it. Amen. What a day that will be. And I live and look forward to that day. But sometime he says, yeah, I need you to do this. This is your job. Do it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Clean the church. Paint the church. Mow the grass. Visit the sick. Pray for the sick. Study. Pray. Preach. Pray. Ask questions. Encourage one another. Whatever it is, it's in the service of our Almighty God. And there's no good excuse not to do it. And there's every good reason to do it. Ah, man. When you think about it, there's no choice just but to be obedient. Yet why do we disobey? Because we're in this flesh. I hate the sins that make the Lord mourn. And I hate my down cities. I hate my backslidings. I hate them all. I'm thankful for the few lucid moments I've had that I was obedient to that charge. God bless you all. Thank you. Love you. Love you very much. May the Lord bless you. You got anything you'd like to add to this, Brother Sonny?
I wish you would add a little bit more about the land of the Lord borrowing
the fish. Why don't you say something about that? Okay, I've already closed my Bible.
I really like it when you get up there and say a few things.